Hey guys, it's Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops, bringing you the waiver wire trends for Wednesday, January 6, 2021. And I'm going to do this a bit differently. I've been doing waiver wire trends from accounts that don't have any leagues because it gives me like a full list of the highest transaction players. But what I will be doing now, I'll be using my account because the guys that show up, it's a lot less likely that they're not on the waiver wire. These are all people I'm able to pick up right now for my teams if I so wanted to. And the nice feature about this is it will show you how many games they have left for that week. And I may actually make some pickups myself as I go through and I discuss them. And the way I'll do that, let's say Tim Hardaway Jr., I see him, feel he had a really good game. I can check his availability and see what leagues he's available to me in. He's available in a 12-team league here. He's available in my 10-team league here. So if I wanted to make a move, something I could strongly consider. Do I have a drop here that I would want to make for him? No, with it being a shallower league, I don't think I really have a great drop. But this kind of shows the purpose of me doing this. And first on the list is Kelly Olynyk. He's being picked up heavily. We discussed him last time, hit those 5 3-pointers, had 19 points, 8 rebounds, had 2 turnovers. As always, with Kelly Olynyk, my concern is usually his consistency. He can be pretty inconsistent, and that's just a fact. I have concerns that the following game, a lot of people are picking him up, expecting some really good production, and he tends to be a player that can disappoint if you count on him for too long. He's a decent target in something like Daily Fantasy because he can go off on a given night, but he just doesn't do it consistently enough for me. Robert Williams, we discussed him in waiver wire trends on Monday, and he continues to fly off the waiver wire. Somebody else to strongly consider. He's been getting around 20 minutes per game. He's still a young player, and he's better in fantasy basketball than he is in real life right now. But he's somebody I'm going to put you on alert to that in the future could be a Miles Turner kind of a fantasy basketball player, a guy who can help you be really good in blocks, a guy who's going to get you high field goal percentage. That's not like Miles Turner. But what I meant is just a young player with upside that's undervalued right now, but in the future will come to more opportunity. And if you really think about it, the Celtics don't have a great center. They kind of have placeholder centers, which bodes really well for his future playing time, unless they make a trade and trade for somebody. But as of right now, I really like his ability to help your team in the future. And moving on, Patty Mills is on the waiver wire after he had an 8 3-point performance. He had 27 points, only a rebound, an assist, and a steal, no blocks. And that's pretty much what you can expect to get from Patty Mills these days. He's going to get you a decent amount of 3-pointers, and he's going to do a decent amount of scoring for you. As you can see here, he's rostered in only 14% of leagues. So, and he's ranked at number 60 so far for your fantasy basketball team. So is there any teams I feel he can help me in? Let's go check it out. Well, maybe not in this league. This league is too shallow. What other leagues of mine is he available in? So he's not in Brock Lesnar Hoops Cash. He went to Gray Phoenix, who's a diamond tier level player. He's available in Brock Lesnar Hoops. He's available in this Black Mamba League. I don't know that I want to draft him in any 12-team leagues just because it's being very skewed by now by this performance. And there's just a lot of other players on the Spurs that I prefer. So in that Brock Lesnar Hoops 16-man league, he makes a lot of sense there, but in shallower formats, I think I want somebody else. Who else? Emmanuel Quickley, we discussed him before. He had a decent game on the fourth, had 16 points. He had his coach singing his praises, and then Tom Thibodeau is normally not a guy that likes playing rookies, but he called him a student of the game, and it says he's watched quite a bit of Trae Young since Thibodeau, so they believe in his shot making ability, and that bodes very, very well for his ability to get playing time. Really, his main competition is Elfrid Payton for those minutes. It looks like he's leapfrogged Frank Ntilikina as far as that pecking order for the New York Knicks point guard position. So definitely pick him up in your deeper formats. I'm kind of upset I didn't pick him up in some of my deeper formats. I kind of had the belief that I should, but I didn't trust my instincts. and he wants other teams on those deeper formats should have picked him up. But regardless, if he has a bad performance or two, he might end up back on the waiver wire. He's a young player, so that means inconsistency is not out of the question. CeeDee Osmond, also flying off the waiver wire after he had a 38-minute, 18-point, 7-rebound, 7-assist, 2-steal, and a block performance. He's another one of those players like Kelly Olynyk who can have a really hot game. People run and pick him up off the waiver wire to see if he can continue doing it, and he doesn't end up doing it. So just something to keep in mind if you are picking him up. Monte Morris had a very pedestrian game, though the 3 steals is nice, and he did get 25 minutes. And the Nuggets have won 2 games in a row. They haven't had the greatest start to the season. I do think they'll get the ball rolling, however. Jamichael Green played 20 minutes, had 3 three-pointers, had 17 points, 6 rebounds. And that is someone you want to keep an eye on. Jamichael Green is one of those sneaky fantasy contributors when he's able to get some minutes. You could see the game before that. He hit 3 three-pointers, had 14 points, had 2 steals. The 4 blocks is definitely not something that you want to see, but for a low-end pickup available in only 10% of leagues, only drafted in 10% of leagues or picked up in 10% of leagues, he's someone you want to keep an eye on for your deeper formats. And here we see Bobby Portis also on the list. Bobby Portis is actually ranked pretty high right now. He's only 39% rostered, and 16% of that was in the last day. So if you still haven't picked him up, I'd say Bobby Portis is a pickup in 12-team leagues. Maybe not 10-team league territory, but in 12-team leagues or deeper. I dropped Hassan Whiteside in one of my 12-team leagues, and I haven't regretted it so far, because he's getting more playing time. He's normally not going to get you blocks. He's more of a scorer, rebounding type who can occasionally hit threes. But it looks like he's doing very well on this Bucks team, and I'd say it's time to pick him up while he's still only owned in 39% of leagues. Tim Hardaway Jr., who we discussed before, had a really strong performance with 8 three-pointers and 31 minutes, shot 78%. Really good performance from him. Though I don't know if he can continue to score at that level. He's been scoring pretty well the majority of the season. He's going to score in the teens. He can hurt your field goal percentage, but if you're looking for one of those guys that can get you 3-pointers and also get you points. And here we have Rudy Gay, another player that's able to outperform his ADP. He had 16 points, 7 rebounds, made 3 three-pointers. Quality production from him. He's only owned in 24% of leagues. So if you're looking for a guy that can get you 3-pointers and just not great stats, but if you see here, he is averaging 1.3 blocks per game. So that's a nice wrinkle to his game he's showing right now. So definitely worthy of a pickup. I'd probably say 14 teams or deeper, maybe not a 12-team pickup right now, unless there's more injuries to that core and he's still getting minutes and still producing. Shake Milton still hasn't played exactly to the degree I expect him to play. He's got 27 minutes and he's consistently getting minutes, so I think as long as he continues to get minutes, he's gonna get it together and he's going to fly off waiver wires. He's only owned in 24% of leagues, and I don't predict that will be the case in a few months. He has a lot of opportunity there. He's a pretty good scorer. He can hit the 3-ball, one of the best shooters in the league. He could get you assists. I keep making comparisons to Lou Williams because I do believe in his ability to help your team. Justin Holiday, told you guys before, very sneaky pickup and somebody you want to consider. He has a rank of 90, only owned in 14% of leagues. His ability to hit 3-pointers, get you steals and blocks, and play defense normally gets him a lot of minutes. They got a win against the New Orleans Pelicans and he played 45 out of the 48 minutes. So that really shows the value that he can bring. Is he available in any leagues where we want to pick him up? I see he's available in my Barack Lesnar Hoops League. Do I have any drops that I would make for him, though? I don't see any ideal drops. My teams tend to be pretty deep, so even though I won't pick him up, he might make sense for you on your squad. Who else can we discuss here? Juancho. Okay, before we get there, there's still a few other guys we can discuss. So, Royce O'Neal played yesterday and just had an average performance. He's an average fantasy basketball player. He's not a guy that's going to wow you. So after having those three three-pointers, 11 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists, people weren't too satisfied with his performance. I still think he's a deep league asset. Only owned in 14% of leagues, so if you're in a deeper format, 16 teams or more, he's not a bad target for you. Patrick Beverley had his best game of the season. He hit 6 three-pointers, had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, had 2 blocks. And he continues to perform really well. He's performing better than Lou Williams so far. He's getting you a lot of three-pointers, a lot of, not a lot of steals, but the three-pointers are there and his percentages are pretty decent. I don't think this is sustainable for him. He is injury prone. He is an older point guard, and we haven't really seen him be good for long stretches for a few years now. So I'd say ever since he was traded from the Houston Rockets, he did used to be a very popular fantasy basketball player. For similar reasons to Marcus Smart today, just his ability to get you steals, assists, and three-pointers. As long as he's playing like this, though, you definitely want to consider picking him up. Alec Burks is injured, and I've told you guys, he's very injury-prone, and he's now missed 4 games. Yes, his production when he was playing was great. No one was expecting that production from him, but availability is the best ability, and he can't help me on paper. I need him to be playing games. If you have an IR spot available, definitely throw him in the IR. And if somebody drops him, throw him in your IR. I mean, the numbers are there, and since you're picking him up off the waiver wire, there's no huge downside. Just don't drop anyone you really value in order to pick him up. Bismack Biyombo, after being picked up a whole lot because of his 16.12 rebound performance, followed that up on the 4th and only had 4 points, 4 rebounds. He did have 4 assists, so he's getting a nice sprinkle of assists, but his production is really low end, and you could probably move on. It's kind of crazy that someone like Bismack Biyombo is 30% rostered, but then you have someone like Justin Holiday, who's a much better fantasy contributor, barely on any teams. So Justin Holiday is one of my favorite streamers for that reason. He tends to be on the waiver wire a lot and actually is able to help your team in some pretty crucial categories. Tyus Jones has about an equal number of drops and pickups. He did have 8 assists and he played 32 minutes. It was another loss, and it was a close loss against the Los Angeles Lakers. Love to see the 2 steals, love to see the block. He only had 1 turnover, so 8 assists to 1 turnover. I can stomach the low scoring, I can stomach the no rebounds, and I can definitely stomach the field goal percentage if he's going to get me that level of assists, steals, and blocks. Very useful production, another sneaky value, and he's only owned in 19% of leagues. I think he should be owned in more leagues than that, and I would say so even in 12-team leagues. I think I may have him in a 10-team league as well. The playing time is there, and he helps me in some pretty key categories that I value. Josh Jackson is being listed as questionable for Wednesday's game versus Milwaukee. So with the injury to Killian Hayes, someone to keep an eye on is Dellen Wright, though he has been pretty disappointing so far. He's had a couple of strong games, but he's been pretty inconsistent, and that has been the case for a few years now, ever since he left the Raptors. I feel like when he was with the Raptors, that's the most consistent I've seen him in fantasy basketball, and ever since then, he's very hit or miss. Gorgui Dieng is a center I recommended you pick up for his ability to help your fantasy basketball team when he's getting minutes. He did get 22 minutes in a close loss to the Los Angeles Lakers, had 13 points, had a 3, shot 75%, got you 2 steals, and that's pretty nice production for a guy that's only owned in 12% of rosters. According to Yahoo, he's ranked at 77 right now. So I'd say he's a pickup even in some 12-team leagues. If you're in desperate need of a big man and the waiver wire's bare, I would pick up Gorgui Dieng, especially considering they're dealing with a lot of injuries. We don't know when Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to come back. Memphis beat writers are saying it should be for MLK Day, but there's been nothing official from the team itself to confirm that's actually true. One thing to keep in mind, if the team continues losing and Ja Morant is going to be out a while, that may actually impact their plans, and those guys, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant, might end up sitting a lot of games because the team decides to tank and not compete for the playoffs. So something to keep in mind early on, especially if it does end up being true. You want to be ready and maybe make some trades for some guys that you think can help you. Probably not right now because the value is so low based on them being injured, but once they come back healthy, I really like their chances to help your team at least until the end of the season. George Hill, he had a rough performance. Been pretty streaky so far. He's swapping good performances with either a missed game or a bad game. I think he's going to be better than he has been. He did pretty well last year for the Bucks, and he's getting a decent amount of minutes. And there's not exactly a whole lot of competition for those minutes. My only concern, as always, is that they're going to rest him if they feel that he's helping them win games because they want to develop their players. He's not a piece of the future for them. So that could definitely affect his playing time later on in the season. He's more of a streamer than someone you count on long term. If he's one of your top point guards, then you definitely want to find a better replacement for the long term. Brandon Clark had 29 minutes. He had 12 points, had 3 steals and a block. More along the lines of the sort of games I want to see from him. Definitely like his ability to get you steals, blocks, the low turnovers. The percentages are not as good as I expect, but hopefully he continues getting minutes and producing with those minutes if he's on your waiver wire, which it looks like he's on one waiver wire in one of my leagues. He's here in Bringing Down the House. I actually believe I'm the one that dropped him. Is there someone that I would drop to pick him up? Maybe Enes Kanter. Maybe Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter, because Enes Kanter ultimately, he only got 16 minutes in this one. It was a close loss, and I think he's going to be inconsistent with the minutes. I picked him up more to see if he could continue the way he was producing, but after a rough game like that, I'd rather not hold on to him and pick up Brandon Clark because I like his upside a whole lot more than Enes Kanter, and I feel that he's my best drop right now because I'm pretty weak on this team in steals and blocks. I'm not as good at steals and blocks as I was hoping to be. And he's somebody that can definitely help me with that goal. So I'm going to go ahead and activate my lineup. And you've seen me do a pick. And that's why I like this format. I think it'll be more useful to you to actually see what guys you're able to pick up. And I have so many leagues that it's very unlikely that they're not available in at least one of them. Willie Cauley-Stein. Well, there's some other guys we can discuss. What did Joe Ingles do? Joe Ingles shot 33%. Low-end pickup, boring pickup, has not really been a great fantasy basketball player for a while now. I'm not excited at his prospects. I guess if you're in a deeper format, he could be somewhat useful. But he's owned in 39% of leagues. And again, someone like Justin Holiday, who's a better fantasy basketball player, is barely owned. So you want to take advantage of those inconsistencies and not put too much credibility into ownership percentage outside of just being excited that they're available in your league if they have a low ownership percentage. Desmond Bane got 25 minutes, had a 3-pointer, 7 points. Definitely an underwhelming performance considering his performances before that. So outside of a deeper format, not somebody that I would count on. He's more of a streamer if you're in a deeper format to see if he can keep getting minutes until they get Ja Morant back. Willie Cauley-Stein. We mentioned him before, but he's available in some of my leagues. I don't know if he's going to continue getting minutes, so I haven't picked him up a whole lot. But if he's available in a deeper format, I'd say even 16-team leagues, he's worthy of consideration, especially the waiver wire tends to be so bare at that point that you could do a whole lot worse than taking a flyer on Willie Cauley-Stein, and if the next game he doesn't get minutes, you move on. Josh Hart, ranked at 154 right now. He's a really good rebounder for a guard, and I think that's going to get him playing time, though his field goal percentage hasn't been there, and he hasn't been getting as many steals and blocks as I would want from him. If he could get his steals and blocks numbers up and keep his turnovers low, that's going to increase his fantasy value, and I do think he has the potential to achieve that. So keep in mind, he is getting the minutes right now, and as long as he's getting those minutes, he may be worthy of consideration. I'd say for Josh Hart, 14 teams or deeper, not a 12-team asset at the moment, in my opinion. Dallin Wright, who we discussed before, is ranked at 152 for the season, only got 10 minutes on January 4th. So I'm concerned if you have him in a 12-team league. I think I've moved on in my 12-team leagues from him. I had a lot of hope that he would do better than he has been, and so far that has not been the case. I do have him in a 16-team league, and he just hasn't been the player I was hoping he would be. And Timothy Luwawu Cabarrot had 24 minutes. He got 11 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, no steals or blocks, only 1 turnover. Not a very exciting fantasy asset. I wouldn't pick him up outside of a very deep league. Jay Crowder hasn't played since the third, but we'll see him in action today. Not very exciting production from him the last two games. Just another one of those players I feel is pretty inconsistent. He'll string a couple of good games together. People pick him up to see if he can keep it up. And then he'll lay an egg and end up right back on the waiver wire. I guess he's more of a streamer. As long as he's hot, you can pick him up. And when he runs cold, you drop him. Norman Powell, never been a fan of him in fantasy basketball for very similar reasons. He runs hot and cold, and he tends to run colder more than hot. He only got 16 minutes, and I remember people were drafting him around the 100 range, sometimes earlier than that. I never drafted him in any of my teams, and I've even seen him on the waiver wire and have had no interest in picking him up. Unless there are some injuries there and he's guaranteed 30 minutes at least, I don't have Norman Powell on my team, and I'm probably not going to recommend you pick him up unless you're in a really deep format, and even then, he's just been not a good fantasy basketball player. Jared Culver had a rough performance yesterday. He only got 22 minutes. He had 4 points, 6 rebounds, no steals and blocks. And there's going to be inconsistency with him as well, but he's a young player, only owned in 8% of leagues. So if you're in an 20-team league, maybe an 18-team league, he's somebody to consider for his upside, because he definitely has upside. Gary Trent Jr., another one of those guys that's on the waiver wire I picked the wrong guy. Here we go. Gary Trent Jr. is another one of those guys that runs really hot and cold. Only got 19 minutes in this one. He can get you a lot of threes and he can score, but he's not going to do much more outside of that. He had 7 3-pointers on December 28th and then had missed 2 games, had a bad performance, and now has had his first somewhat decent performance since last year. That sounds a whole lot worse than it really is. It's more like last week, but you know what I mean. Cole Anthony, Michael Carter Williams is going to be missed. Oh, that's not Cole Anthony, that's Carmelo Anthony. So we won't be discussing him. Though he did have 4 3-pointers, 12 points, 4 rebounds, and he's getting 25 to 30 minutes per game. But this team is struggling. Not doing well. He's shooting under 40% from the field. Doesn't get you steals or blocks. More of a guy if you want some low-end production that can help you with your free throw percentage, which he is doing, and get you, I guess, some threes. Not a whole lot either. Killian Hayes has the injury tag because he has a tear in his hip. And definitely has not had a good fantasy basketball season. I picked him up in a points league hoping he would be able to produce. And I think he's averaging like 1 fantasy point per game. I dropped him in a 20-team league. I think it's time to move on. I probably wouldn't even waste an IR spot on him at the moment. Ivica Zubac only got 19 minutes. He made his one shot. Got you 8 rebounds. Low-end center. Don't expect much from him. He's good if you need like a fourth big just to shore up your big man numbers, but not an exciting prospect whatsoever. Paul Millsap, according to Yahoo, he's ranked at 200, had 10 points, 3 rebounds, only got 16 minutes in this win. Jermichael Green got more minutes, so that's something to keep an eye on for that position battle. If Paul Millsap ends up playing less minutes in order for Jermichael Green to get more minutes, Jermichael Green may become a pickup, maybe even in some 12-team leagues. Something to keep an eye on for the future. Chris Boucher, hype is getting pretty real. He's currently ranked 70 on Yahoo. I saw a post on the Brock Lesnar Fantasy Hoops Facebook group, and it was asked. We were asked, Chris Boucher or Mitchell Robinson, and I think that's an insane question. I think it's definitely Mitchell Robinson. So there's a lot of hype for Chris Boucher right now. I think with that much hype, he might be a sell-high candidate. So maybe try to trade him for Mitchell Robinson. And guys, if you have not yet, I've activated memberships, okay? I've activated memberships, and that's a way you can support Brock Lesnar Hoops. I've been making this content consistently for you, giving you quality information, what I feel is quality information, and what a lot of my loyal viewers feel is quality information. You can pay as low as $1.99, and I'm going to give you access to these waiver wire trend videos. For Monday, I'm going to give you access to those on Sunday. You're going to get a cool little stamp icon right next to your name when you comment or chat on anything Brock Lesnar Hoops related, just showing that you are a top supporter of Brock Lesnar Hoops and that you're, in essence, you're a producer of Brock Lesnar Hoops because you are financing the creation of this program, which means a whole lot to me. There's different tiers. So click join below, check out those tiers, check out the perks. One of the perks I'm going to add, if you're in the platinum tier, I'm going to give you shout outs in these videos. I'll have a section towards the end of the video where I can give a shout out. That'll happen at least once a month, depending on the number of contributions that we're getting and members joining. So far we have a few to start, which made me very happy, and I'm hoping we can grow that community of valued members. And every month that you are a part of this, you're going to get an upgraded badge showing everyone that you are one of the top fans of Brock Lesnar Hoops in the entire world. All right, enough about me. Let's go on to discuss Maxi Kleber. He only got 18 minutes, and you know, he was dealing with an ankle injury, but once Kristaps Porzingis is back, I'm really concerned that Maxi Kleber just won't be very useful. Something to keep in mind on, is he available in any leagues I would want to pick him up in? No, not based on what I'm seeing. All right, and Eric Pascal had 14 points, two three-pointers. He's more of a deep league asset. He's only owned in 6% of leagues. So if you're in like a 20-team league or an 18-team league and he's on the waiver wire, he's somebody worthy of picking up because his percentages are pretty decent. And he might carve out a role for himself. He hasn't had a whole lot of minutes yet, but he got 22 minutes in the win against Sacramento. So keep an eye on him, especially if your waiver wire is pretty bare. All right. Isaac Okoro. It looks like he's not being listed on the injury report for Wednesday. He hasn't done a whole lot this season. He looked a lot better in preseason, and CeeDee Osmond's been outplaying him. But still, he's their rookie pick, and they might throw a lot of playing time his way, especially if those wins they're getting start turning into losses. So keep an eye on that. Mark Gasol had a steal, had two blocks, only got 19 minutes. The steals and blocks numbers are really helping his value, and he's getting you some threes. So some decent low-end production from him. I could have picked him up in a 16-team league, and I didn't, and I kind of regret it because he's been doing better than I really expected he would. Daniel House Jr. will not travel for Wednesday's game versus the Pacers. So, all right, so that's disappointing. Daniel House Jr., haven't seen him have the season I was hoping he would have, but still, the playing time was there for him, and I think just like other players struggling, once he gets it going and reaches midseason form, we'll see him do a lot better. Unfortunately, it won't be for a few games, and it's looking like he's not going to travel for Wednesday's game versus the Pacers. Hopefully he can come back soon. Danny Green had a decent performance on the fourth, but outside of a deeper format, he's only owned in 10% of leagues. I really would not consider him, though he is averaging 1.4 three-pointers and 1.3 steals and over half a block per game. That's not bad production there, but he's just an incredibly streaky shooter. Just streaky score. He's in the past been one of those guys that can help you when he's on and can hurt you when he's off. Kind of reminds me a little bit of what Dellen Wright is doing. JaVale McGee, after me recommending that he could help you based on how he had been doing, only got 14 minutes, missed the majority of his shots, only had 2 points, two rebounds. Did it get you a block? I still think he's worthy of consideration in an 18 or 20 team league, but probably nothing deeper than that. Patrick Williams, I actually picked him up in what I believe was, I think it's a 12-team league. I like his potential as a young player to get playing time and his ability to get steals and blocks. Even though he hasn't done it every game, he did have a three-block game, and he had a two-block game previous to this one with three steals. I really like that steals and blocks potential he has and his ability to hit some three-pointers as well. So I took a flyer on him. And it may be time to consider taking a flyer on him. He's only owned in 15% of leagues. So if you're in a 14-team league or deeper, or maybe even certain 12-team formats, I think he's worthy of consideration. Nerlens Noel is questionable for Wednesday. He sat out on Monday with an ankle injury. And it may be time to strongly consider putting him on the waiver wire until we can see him be more consistent and be healthy. The minutes have not been there for him. His highest playing time so far this season was 18 minutes. You can see from his game on December 29th that he got you two steals and three blocks. That's really what's so enticing about him. But just like with his time with the Oklahoma City Thunder, the playing time has not been there for him. PJ Tucker had a rough performance, got 35 minutes and did nothing. He got four rebounds, two turnovers. Really awful production from him there. He's nothing more than a low-end pickup. Probably shouldn't be owned in 20% of leagues, to be completely honest. Avery Bradley, I had to drop him in my 16-team league. I don't know how many minutes he's going to get. He only got 17 this one. Jimmy Butler is back, and it looks like his playing time is dependent on Jimmy Butler's health. So Avery Bradley appears to be more of a handcuff for Jimmy Butler, and for that reason, I did enjoy him. But I wanted to make a pickup, and he was the only player I could drop because he hadn't played that day. And the last player we're going to discuss is D'Anthony Melton. What did D'Anthony Melton do? He played 16 minutes, got you a three-pointer, had 5 assists, a steal, and a block. And he's probably going to be a decent low-end pickup for you in a deeper format for his ability to get some three-pointers, some assists, some steals, and blocks for you. But wouldn't expect much more than low-end production. It does look like between the two games he's played, he's averaging a whopping 16.7% field goal percentage. All right, guys, those are the waiver wires for today. Waiver wire trends for today. Which players are you planning to pick up? Which players do you think can help you? Which players are available in your league? Do you have some questions? Leave them below. I'm very interested in knowing and very interested in hearing. If you have not yet, yes, subscribe to Barack Lesnar Hoops, please. Like this video. We have over 1,900 subscribers. Do you know what that means? We are almost at 2,000. It wasn't even a month ago we were celebrating reaching the 1,000 mark. It took me 3 years to reach 1,000, and I'm about to reach 2,000 in probably 3 weeks. So the channel's growing quickly, very quickly. I'm very pleased. And because you guys are supporting me, I've been pumping out the content. Every single day I've been uploading, and I hope that you guys do appreciate that. And if you do appreciate that, click join below and consider becoming a member of Barack Lesnar Hoops. All right, guys, that is it for today. I do have an exciting video for you today. It's going to be a mock draft. It's for fun. We try to do a regular league, but we couldn't coordinate to get in one at the same time. So we had to do a mock draft, and it's me and Mancy Buckets from the Mancy Buckets Fantasy Basketball Channel. He's a really cool dude. He reached out to collaborate. I like him a lot, and his strategies are not too far off from mine. So he's a young whippersnapper, and I had to show him what's up. So check out that video. It'll be later today at 6 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be premiering. All right, y'all. Until next time, this is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops. And I hope you win today. Really, I do.